The World Tomorrow. Garner Ted Armstrong brings you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
And greetings, friends around the world. Where will you be about 5, 7, 10 years from now? There's no way you can know. But depending upon who you want to believe, you'll either be on the threshold of a new millennium or perhaps in the midst of some of the greatest global disasters the world has ever seen. Which forecaster of the future can be believed? Are the doomsday seers correct in their despair? Usually when people talk about pollution, population, the cooling cycle, and impending drought, which is even now gripping much of the Western world, including part of the Midwest of the United States of America and a good bit of the Wheat Belt of Canada. When they talk about earthquakes and disasters, when they talk about the worldwide environmental problems, they are usually labeled by the press doomsday seers. They are lumped together with some of the prophets of the Bible, who mistakenly by many people were thought to be wild-haired, gray-haired old seers who would mount up to the top of a mountain or a hill and look down upon a poor, unfortunate group of people in the city, shaking their fists while the lightning bolts were crashing around and saying, "Doom, doom to all of you inhabitants down there." Kind of like Jonah sitting up on the hill waiting for Nineveh to fall. And so, some men who have presented serious studies about the potential for human survival and about the possibility of human annihilation have been called the Jeremiah of science. In a characteristically dire report recently, the CIA, you know who they are, the Central Intelligence Agency, they've been called almost everything except that recently, but they have warned of potential global upheavals almost beyond comprehension. The cause? Mostly climatic change. That's right. The drop of the temperature of the world, of the Northern Hemisphere, by as much as 1 degree can bring about widespread famine. And drought, crop failures, and famine, starvation, means political upheavals, and that means upheavals in countries, no doubt, which even possess nuclear weapons, and oftentimes the only recourse left to such nations, especially those in the grip of unstable governments, is to go to war to achieve what they must have for the survival of their own people. Now, in contrast to that, a man that I talked to some years ago on the World Tomorrow program, interviewed him for television because he is quite outspoken. He's the head of the Hudson Institute. He's one of the futurologists of them. He used to be head of the think tank, and I think still is, Dr. Herman Kahn. And he talks about a very optimistic message for the future. He talks about the next 200 years, and that is conceived by himself as an answer to these doomsday theorists. He says human society is well on its way to the millennium, or in the words of his book, and I quote, 200 years ago, almost everywhere, human beings were comparatively few, poor, at the mercy of the forces of nature. And 200 years from now, we expect almost everywhere there will be numerous, rich, and in control of the forces of nature. Now, those are very lovely sounding words. When you hear man controlling the forces of nature, I suppose that means he's going to control the winds, he's going to control temperature, he's going to control the climate. He's going to control the currents of the oceans and the seas and be in complete and total control. In other words, man is going to play God. Now, man has never been able to do anything like that so far. Man has not even come close to doing something like that, but they claim that that is exactly what we can expect. However, he said, there may be some obstacles on the road from here to there. He sees the way as essentially clear. He expects world population growth to peak in the next 5 years and world economic growth to reach its height a few years later, with both gradual stabilizing in the 22nd century, at a level of unprecedented affluence. The only problem is that on the way to this unbelievable millennium, it seems there are great potentials for catastrophe along the way. For example, the world population is not going to level off. That isn't a word you just say and you put it down in a book, world population is going to level off by family planning. What is not said is that the only way world population is going to level off is by the attrition of war and the increased starvation and famine that is going to cause it to do so. The world's resources, according to his analysis, are more than sufficient to meet the food, energy, and raw material needs of the expected population of 15 billion by about 2176. So it depends on who you want to listen to? Who do you want to believe? Is it really true, all of that starvation in the sub-Sahara? Did it really happen? Was there a gigantic civil war in Nigeria? Did all those millions really die? I mean, is there such a thing as famine? Is there such a thing as drought? Well, was there really an earthquake in Italy? Are these problems really occurring around the world, or are they just imaginary? When I was born, back too many years ago than I care to relate, the world's population was exactly 2 billion. Within just the last few months, world population has crossed the 4 billion mark. Experts say it's going to double in about another 35 years or less. Then it's going to double in about 20 or is it 17 years beyond that. Then it's going to double again in far fewer years because the cumulative effect of that fantastic doubling and redoubling of the population is enormous. Now, do we honestly believe that the world can support the population it has today? If you really look into it for yourself, you will find that that is absolutely not true. Well, oftentimes people are called doomsday seers when they talk about the future, especially with regard to what is really happening and what it is really like in many of the so-called underdeveloped parts of the world. When you go there and see for yourself, however, you are led to wonder about the statements of those who in their cloistered ivory towers can sit within think tanks and think about possible millennial-like achievements of the human race when in practical fact, worldwide environmental committees and those who are actually coming to grips with the problems of our globe today are urging governments of the world to head off possible global disaster. Environmental Protection Agency Chief Russell Train called recently for establishment and enforcement of worldwide environmental standards to head off a possible global disaster. He said the world desperately needs international institutions to set standards and to police them. This may seem a radical proposal, but he said he had reached the conclusion that the world community can no longer duck that issue. When you look at the catastrophes that have been mounting up around the world, one atop another in the last few years, and you look at the increase in earthquake activity and the warnings of everyone from wild-eyed fanatics who would like to use religious antagonisms as the basis for their predictions to those who are seriously wondering, because they say the longest we are away from the last great quake in some of the areas of the world where there is known to be earthquake activity and a great fault line, such as those in California and other parts of the entirety of the chain of the mountains that go all the way from the Aleutians clear to the tip of South America, so far as that's concerned. And they know and they understand that the farther we are away from great quakes of the past, the closer we are to great quakes in the future. Now, was it just accident? Was it just a good guess that a prophet, a newscaster of his day, who looked down beyond his day into ours and foretold of a time when all of these global problems would begin to superpose themselves one atop another, where he foretold of a time of wars and rumors of wars, but at the very same time he talked about drought and famine, at the very same time he talked about sickness and disease epidemics, and at the very same time about massive religious revivals, but with it, deceptions and confusion. And out of all this, he foretold a time of such turbulence that it would lead to greater and greater wars, wars and rumors of wars here and there, finally culminating in world war. And the only way you can understand those words spoken by Jesus Christ of Nazareth nearly 2,000 years ago in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, which is the pivotal prophecy of all of the Bible, which really explains a great deal of the book of Revelation, which is of a humanly carved out or designed millennium. It is unimaginable that this world, with all of its racial tensions and hatreds, with age-old tribalism ripping one nation after another apart, with a Middle Eastern crisis still steeping and seething and capable of erupting into open warfare at any time, where the most stable nation of all of the Middle East has been ripped asunder by violent civil war and is still in the midst of such strife. It is inconceivable, as you look at NATO tottering on its last legs, with a Greek-Turkish irritation over Cyprus, which could break out into war, with Italy increasingly going communist, with a runaway inflation rate in many European countries, with a problem both on the east and the west flank of the fear of communism, the threat of it always there, no matter what temporarily seems to be respite in Portugal, with the Icelandic and British Cod War underway, with the Warsaw Pact nations much stronger than NATO forces should they choose to attack in a conventional manner, with the United States once again, with the Secretary of State trying to shore up the doubts, the flagging attitudes and spirits of NATO partners. Then you look at the nation of Angola as a case in point of what is happening all over Africa, at the threat to Southern Africa, the two white minority governments of South Africa and Rhodesia. You look at communist inroads throughout Southeast Asia, and the fact that nevertheless people make fun of the pragmatists during the Eisenhower administration and their domino theory. They say that is outdated. Well, is it really? Isn't it exactly what has been happening throughout Southeast Asia? Did not the domino theory, the theory that if one nation of that area falls to communism, the one next to it will fall, and the one next to it will fall, and so on? And is not that proving to work out in practical fact? If you look at this world today, and were to appraise it by an accurate state of the world message, you would have to realize that the bulk of the population of this earth is illiterate, that the bulk of the population of the world is very poorly fed and lives at a starvation level, that the bulk of the population of the world does not have sufficient shelter or clothing, that this world is in an unbelievable condition. And yet it is so easy to cling to the ideas of those who would assuage all fear and doubt, who would lead us to believe in the rose-hued glasses of a colorful millennium created by technology and by science, because, of course, anyone is guilty of practically the unpardonable sin by saying there is that which science cannot do. To limit science is just about to knock the nose off Dagon. It is to spit in the eye of a cherished god. Science has always rescued us from our problems in the past. People reason. Will not science rescue us from the problems of the present and of the future? And the answer is no. No, science has not stopped our wars. It has only given men the means by which to make war ever more deadly. Science has not prevented wars. They have merely given the military genius of various nations full sway by allowing the utilization of nations' weapons, which can now obliterate the entirety of national populations, where war is no longer strictly military men against military men for military goals, but is now global war against global populations for global stakes. It's time you understood that there are prophecies of your Bible that are viable, that are active, that live, that are really coming to be fulfilled in a day-by-day, week-by-week sense, as we see the gradual emergence of a third power bloc inside Central Europe that we've been talking about in this radio program for many, many years, that we began to talk about at the end of World War II, that Germany would rise again, and that Germany eventually would head up a great union, perhaps in the earliest stages, only 5, 6, 8 or more nations, but eventually it is going to be 10 nations, which will be like a United States of Europe, and which will arbitrate between East and West, which will be more powerful than either the United States or the Soviet Union. Everything is pointing toward the development of just such an organization. The European Parliament exists. Euratom, the European Coal and Steel Community, and I do not believe for one minute that that United States of Europe must necessarily, according to Bible prophecy, grow out of the European Economic Community. It could well grow out of the shambles of the European Economic Community, when the Great Recession, which leads toward a huge depression, strikes this world very likely late in 1977 or 78, because that's what many economists predicted when they predicted the gradual and the seeming very small recovery of this present time. They say eventually the world is going to pay for it, and Europe is going to be in the grips, as will the United States, a very serious business recession, which may well be a Great Depression, which will bring about a dramatic shift in political appetites inside Europe and possibly within a couple of 3 years. That's what economists have said, and it certainly does fit with what Bible prophecy would tend to indicate. Well, if you want to understand it, then you need the key that unlocks to your understanding the identity of our peoples in Bible prophecy. Have you ever wondered why it is that little nations like Libya, Syria, Israel, and the like are identified in the pages of the Bible, and yet the United States of America doesn't seem to be mentioned, at least at face value on the surface? Why would the great country of the United States of America in this space age not be listed, not be identified in the pages of the Bible, when, after all, Bible prophecy talks about a time in which the potential for human annihilation, global pollution and population, all of these factors would, in one sense, be occurring at the same time? Yet the one greatest participant in that global arena of world power politics would be the United States of America. Is it identified? Is it mentioned? The answer is yes, it is, and you ought to read this booklet called The United States and British Commonwealth in Prophecy. That booklet we have advertised year after year. This one is up to date with modern information and statistics, but it shows you some of the shocking story of the promise of national greatness that has been fulfilled in the United States of America. It's called The United States and British Commonwealth in Prophecy. It's free of charge and no price. While you're at it, request the current number of the Good News magazine that gives you these articles about the New Covenant and others. You can have it by dialing the toll-free number 800-423-4444 right now. The operators are waiting to take your call if you'd like that booklet on the United States in Prophecy. If you will dial 800-423-4444, or you can write to me, Garner Ted Armstrong in Pasadena, California. Please tell us the call letters of your radio station. Until next time, this is Garner Ted Armstrong saying goodbye, friends.
You have heard The World Tomorrow with Garner Ted Armstrong, sponsored by the Worldwide Church of God. For literature offered on this program, send your requests along with the call letters of this station to Garner Ted Armstrong, Pasadena, California, 91123. Or you may dial this toll-free number, 800-423-4444.